to go. Well, I hope you saw your picture in there. But if you didn't, if you missed it, well, that's tough luck. I've got enough notes to preach till 3 o'clock. Look in the 3rd chapter of Daniel. I'm going to begin reading. I'm just going to read myself today, and you follow along with me if you will. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimeter, all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery," I don't even know what all these are, "and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There were certain Jews whom thou hast set up over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and unto the Abednego." That's where my grandmother taught it to me. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they brought these men before the king, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear these instruments of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into a furnace, into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" What a challenge. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the word of God we have in our hands. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together, to fellowship, to study, to preach and to pray, to understand, to help one another out. We do pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come and you would honor your word. You would touch hearts and lives. And Lord, that you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful story, and a story that's been told over and over and over again throughout the years. France, Normandy, the celebration of the Normandy invasion, which was the greatest amphibious invasion ever performed in the history of the world. Now, these men that are going over there, they were probably 17 to 21 or 2 when they were fighting World War II. But now then, they're 95 or 100 years old. And old people have a tendency to tell their stories. Y'all pick on me every once in a while. But, you know, some of my stories mean something to me. They may not mean anything to you, but they mean something to me. And that's the way most old folks are. When they're telling some story, it's something they think you ought to laugh at or something you ought to fellowship with, or they're trying to be friendly to you or whatever. And sometimes those stories really mean something. I think of the Eddie having the spinal meningitis and Billy having acid in the eyes, all of it in 1 year, and also Susanna being born. That was one tough year for me. And when I remember it, I remember that I was deep debt. And God brought me through that. And that is a beautiful thing to me when I look back at those experiences and see what happened. And it doesn't just happen to everybody that way. And so there's going to be a lot of old soldiers sitting over there in France telling stories to each other. But you know what? Some of them remember a lot of their buddies. Now, those of you that have been in the military and you've ever been close to some of the soldiers that you were with, they're almost like brothers. They're almost like a family. And when you lose them, it hurts. Audie Murphy, most decorated soldier of World War II, just a young kid, about 17 when he went in, and people kept getting killed above him, and so on. I had a captain like that that I was first under in Roswell, New Mexico. He went in at 17, and he kept moving up. The guys kept getting killed above him. And finally, he got on up till he was a senior master sergeant, and then he was a second lieutenant, and he finally made a captain. When they decided to cut him back on a rift in there where they were getting people out of the service and allowing some to stay in and get their years in that they wanted to retire, they thought they were going to make a staff sergeant out of him, this captain, and move him onto another base. They couldn't because he had a permanent rank of master sergeant, chief master sergeant. And he wasn't probably 20 years old when he was a chief master sergeant because the guys were being killed above him and he kept rising on up. So he had his rank and so they had to take care of him. He was one of the best officers that I ever served under. At any rate, they think about these guys that are over there and they're going to think about some of their buddies. Almost like brothers. Real good friends that didn't make it in D-Day, Normandy. A lot of people died. They had so many dying in those waters trying to get up because Germany was entrenched and they knew that the Allies were going to be coming in there. So those guys have got something to think about. Well, I thought about these people right here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't know about Daniel. We don't know where he was. We don't know why he wasn't in this, why he would not have stood with them. I'm sure he would. So he had to have been somewhere else in the kingdom, whatever. Here's this statue. It's a gold statue. Now, this king's setting it up. It's about 9 or 10 feet wide and about 90 feet high. And it's covered in gold. That is some big, rich thing. Now, you understand that in the statue of Daniel, when he's showing the kingdoms coming down, that head of gold is Nebuchadnezzar. I believe that means that Nebuchadnezzar probably had the greatest Gentile kingdom ever. And everything has gone downhill ever since that. When you get down to the very bottom, you have iron mixed with clay in 10 toes. And you have these different little kingdoms, and they're very weak. They don't have the power. This man was an absolute king. I mean, nobody told him the law says. He did what he wanted to do, and nobody could stand up to him. Notice how irritated he was when they told him that some of these Jews would not bow to his idol. It made him into a furious man. He just was not used to anybody standing up in him. He didn't have a law he had to follow. He was an absolute king, and I think maybe, in God's estimation, maybe the best Gentile kingdom ever. And everything went downhill from him. Now, when you're thinking about that, you think about this king, and he decides he's going to kill people. I wonder how many people have been killed in a furnace. I wonder how many people this king, he's an older man by now, has killed already in his life. People that disobeyed him, people that didn't think about him, he just wiped them out. They just wiped them out right and left. Who's going to stand up to him? Well, there's some Jew boys. Jew boys. These were relatives of the king. Relatives of the royal house. So he had them castrated and they became eunuchs. And they were his officers that did all sorts of work for him and whatever. They were slaves, but they were very high class slaves. And somebody thinks, I've treated you well. I've taught you the language. I've given you a place of position. You're not out making bricks. You're not out working, laboring heavily, whatever. And you don't worship my gods? I commanded you to worship God. Well, he has some of his finest soldiers bind these guys up, carry them up. He takes this furnace and he heats it 7 times and it's hotter than it's ever been heated. And when they will go up there to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, the men that took them up there, those faithful soldiers, lost their lives. They threw them in. They did what they were told to do, but they died. And then they're walking around out there, and they're looking in to this furnace, and the king said, didn't I throw 3 men in? Yeah, that's right. I see 4. Now, I don't know what he thought about the Son of God, but he said, the 4th looks like the Son of God. How about that? Who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Well, let me tell you something. It's a very dangerous thing for you to go against a big king like that, or any government, or any army. Because, you see, God doesn't always deliver everybody out that way. That's the only time I've read of it. One time in the history of the Bible, we have this great miracle where God Almighty walks in and takes care of 3 of his and makes a complete miracle where anybody can see it. That may not happen to you. Read Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs. You know what you'll find? There's a whole lot of good, sweet Christians that would not bend and bow to anything but God himself, and they died. Nero crucified Christians on crosses, some of them upside down, some of them burning. Many of them went through burning and fire, and they did not get delivered. These boys didn't expect to get a miracle when they went in there. And I say boys, they're men. These men did not expect a miracle when they went into that furnace. They fully expected to die, I'm sure. And yet God Almighty decided to impress this king. And how did he do it? Well, he just stood against him. He said, I'm going to kill you. Well, he didn't kill him. He killed his soldiers. Some of his best soldiers, they died because of what he'd done. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are walking around. You know what the fire did? It took their ropes off of them. All it did was free them. And they could walk around in that fire with no problem at all, you know. I don't like fire. I've been burned a time or two. You ever heard that everybody has to learn that the stove is hot? Each generation has to learn the stove is hot. I learned it young. Didn't take me long. I'm not that stupid. I didn't keep putting my hand back on the stove. And you probably didn't either. Now, maybe some of you are a little dense. And you just keep going back and asking for trouble. Who's riding a motorcycle? Going back for more trouble, you know. What we've got here is a story that is it's a wonderful story. I loved it. My grandmother had a lot of fun when she'd say, I was little, and she'd say, Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. And she'd squeeze me, you know, whatever, tease me out. And she was a very strict Methodist. She lived a very separated life and was a widow from the time she was about 30 until she was about 76 when she finally passed away. Very independent woman. And she had a big family, and she loved the Lord. She had a sister that lived down the road from her, and the sister was a little bolder than even she was. She'd sit you down at the table and say, if you're a Christian, it's good enough for you. If you're not a Christian, it's too good for you. Eat. That's a little bold, isn't it? If you're a Christian, this food's good enough for you. If you're not a Christian, it's too good for you. They were some pretty strong believers, you know. They had some faith and they had some convictions and stuff. These three guys had some convictions. They had decided, I'm serving the Lord God and nobody else. They weren't impressed by a 90-foot statue. And I'm not sure that's the exact measurement. It says 60 elbow lengths. And but that's about what I figured it, about 9 or 10 feet wide and about 90 feet high. Covered in gold. This man's a rich man. He's got this big statue. He thinks that ought to impress some people. And it does impress people. You know what? People are impressed by stained glasses. They're impressed by crosses. They're impressed by carpet. They're impressed by statues. I cannot imagine all the naked statues that are in many churches. All of the things they have that they lift up so high. You and I serve a spiritual God. We serve a God that can do anything He wants to do. Nothing can be held back from Him. And who is the God that can deliver you out of my hands? The God we serve. Now, does that mean He's going to deliver you? No, not necessarily. I have a very faithful God. In fact, if you'll turn to Psalms 119, 89, and 90, the Bible declares it. Psalm 119, 89, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Now, you know what I believe? I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I believe it's settled in heaven. I don't believe you need to change it. I believe you need to believe it. I believe you need to live it and practice it. Well, look at the next verse. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. How is that? Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. The earth's still turning. The earth's still going around in a circle. All of these things have continued to go, and people don't know why or how. The greatest scientists we have, they don't understand gravity. They can explain it, they can use it, but they can't control it. And God Almighty has set it up, and it just keeps right on going. How about that for faithfulness? Are you faithful? We ought to be faithful. God's faithful, and the proof of it is, just take a look out there at the earth. We're still going around, and the sun is still rising in the east and going down in the west. The rain still comes, and the drought still comes. The plants grow, animals live, born and die. God's faithfulness. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What was different about James and John and these other apostles that had been with Jesus? It gave them a boldness. It gave them a willingness to stand up in the face of authority. They had a message of salvation. They even had some power. They can walk by a beggar sitting in the temple grounds out there and say, I don't have any money for you. I don't have any silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And this guy leaped up and walked. Wonderful, wonderful things happened. Not every crippled man got that answer. God doesn't do it for everybody or everywhere, and it's not in His purpose to do so. You and I, we're a little selfish. I was looking at the little babies that Laura brought in this morning, and there is nothing more self-centered than a baby. They don't care about your time. They don't care about how you're feeling today. They don't worry about anything but themselves and what they can get. And most of us don't outgrow it. Amen? Or oh me. There's salvation in no other than Jesus Christ. It's not in the church. Man asked me which church was better than this or that. I said, I don't know. All of the churches, even those that aren't Catholic, do a lot of things that the Catholics do. And so there's a whole lot of garbage in Protestant churches, the same as there is around the world. People are idolatrous. We really are. We love beautiful things. Amen. Now, Peter, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, in his answer to these priests was, we ought to obey God rather than man. They told him, you cannot preach in this name anymore. Salvation's not in the name of Jesus. Salvation is going through the priesthood and whatever, going through Judaism and whatever. No, that's not the truth. There's been a change made. Jesus Christ has gone to the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ has paid the debt for sin. Jesus Christ has brought in a new salvation, a new covenant. I don't go to heaven on how I keep the law. When I look at the law, it condemns me. I know that I'm a sinner. But I don't go to God and say, I've kept your law. You ever try that? You better not. You better have enough sense to say, I have failed you, Lord. I have failed you. I failed today and I failed yesterday and I'll probably fail again tomorrow. But God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is in the business of listening to repentant sinners. And I can go to any prison in the country, and I've been in prison, and I've been in a whole lot of jails, and I can tell those people, whether they were drunks or adulterers or murderers or whatever they were, that God Almighty can save their soul if they will repent. And that's what the promise of the Bible is throughout it. Nebuchadnezzar is a great man. God wanted a testimony in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. He wanted a testimony in his house. I don't know that we'll see Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know that he was ever saved or whatever. But at any rate, he got a testimony. And he sent three men in here, and they had to go through standing up on their own and saying, I will not worship when all of your music goes out, and will not worship an idol. I will not worship. I don't care if it's made of gold. I don't care if it's got stained glass. I don't care about a lot of different things about it. It doesn't serve. It doesn't help. It doesn't reach out. The Bible in Revelations 12:11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Where is your overcoming? There's only one place. It's got to be by faith. And it's got to be faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you. A fellow here recently asked me about a church, you know, and how much different it was that church than other churches and whatever. It's not the church. It's what you believe. You can be in a sorry church and be believing the right things, and God Almighty will deal with you.
Amen.
It's not the building. It's not the church. It's not the communion necessarily that you have. It's your personal belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you on the cross of Calvary. He paid the debt. You can never pay the debt. Praise God. That what a tremendous gift. The gift of God is eternal life. Wow. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Luke 4:25-26-27. I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent unto, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet. None of them was cleansed saving Naaman the Syrian. These great things, what happened to them? God Almighty provided a miracle in various things. This widow woman, she was a Gentile. She wasn't a Jew. And all these Jewish women were going hungry and in need and needing help. But they weren't, it wasn't sent to the Jewish women, or not to many of them. So God does sometimes do something like He did right here, and it's one time only. Don't ever read about it again. But you know, they had a story to tell, didn't they? I wonder how many people ask them, what was it like? When they found out these were the guys in the fiery furnace. What was it like? How did it affect you? And whatever, something like that, you know. They tell their stories. In Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. After that, have no more they can do. These men had this exact challenge. The king was threatening their body. He threatened to burn them up in a fire. Now, I cannot imagine anything much worse than being burned. And that's what they were threatened with. But they didn't back up. They didn't change their story. And they didn't worship his gods. Therefore, they were thrown in. You know why? Because they were afraid of them that can take care of their soul. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. We need to fear God. We need to walk before God and stand before God. I'm not sure that how many of us would back up if we were faced with damage to our children or our wives or something like that. But I do know that many people in history past have not given in. They stood the test of time. They were burned at the stake. They were crucified. They had all sorts of bad things happen to them. And yet they maintained their faith in Jesus Christ. I hope we could. I hope we would. But it's the reason why. Be not afraid of them that kill the body. And notice what it says. After that, have no more they can do. Can we think about, what's a bad thing? They torture me or kill my body or, you know, that sounds like the worst thing that could happen to you. No, it's really not. The worst thing can happen to you is to fall into the hands of the one that can do something to you after your body's gone, after you're dead. After you have killed, have power to cast into hell. Yes, and you fear him. I thought about these three men. They had a lot taken away from them. They weren't going to have a marriage. They weren't going to have children or grandchildren. They weren't going to have a family. A lot of things that they lost. Yet they made up their mind to serve God, even in the far country, even with the greatest Gentile king that we know about, Nebuchadnezzar. And God backed them up. God reached in and saved them for His own testimony. And I think because He wanted a witness that could reach Nebuchadnezzar. I believe they did. I believe He saw there is no God that can deliver after the sort of God that these men serve. And so He freed them from having to worship the idolatry that was there. I don't know what you're going to face in the future. You don't know what I'm going to face. I'll tell you the truth. I sometimes worry about the future. I think what I see hard times coming. I think things that are going to come around. This has been a wonderful country to be born in and to live in and to enjoy the freedoms that we've had and the wealth that we've had. But I don't know that my children or my grandchildren are going to have the same thing. I fear what the devil can do. I fear his hurt. I hope I'll have enough faith to stand against him. And I hope you will too. I hope we and Christians will stand up and be counted as these men did and bring a witness and testimony for God Almighty when we have to take that stand. If you're here and you're not saved, Jesus Christ can save you. You're not good enough to be saved.
Amen.
You have nothing in you that appeals to God. He's not impressed by the strength of a man or the strength of a horse. He's impressed by faith. Will you believe that He save your soul if you will forgive, you will ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life? If you believe He can and will, and you do that, He'll save you no matter what your sins are. You as a witness can witness to anybody, no matter what condition they're in. Although, I almost gave up on witnessing to drunks. While they're still drunk, it's a waste of time. But if you will go and come before the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sins and ask Him to forgive you for being a sinner and living the way you've lived, God will hear your prayer. That's a wonderful thing. You get into the presence of Almighty God, and He can change every circumstance He wants to. And if He doesn't change the circumstances, I guarantee it is, He'll make it better for you to live in and to live with Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God for the gospel that we have. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for all Your blessings. I thank You for the promises in Your Word. I thank You for those that are here to hear it today. And I pray, God, You'd bless each one by Your Holy Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand and sing number 243.